Welcome to Future Proof, the marketing podcast from Kantar, the world's leading marketing data and analytics company, and Side Business School, University of Oxford. In each episode, we speak with marketing leaders and share insights to help brands and business leaders navigate the ever-changing marketing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Landscape. And hopefully dispel some myths and misconceptions along the way.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nikki Morley, and I'm joined today by Koen Berghouts. I'm Head of Behavioural Science and Innovation Expertise in the UK business, and Koen is VP Foods, Global Foods for PepsiCo, looking after brands such as Lay's, Walkers and Doritos. And I'm delighted he's joining me today. Today we're going to be talking about the challenges of innovating in a crowded marketplace. So welcome, Koen, and thank you so much for joining me. Perhaps you could tell me a little bit about yourself and your role.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. I'm very passionate about innovation, so happy to talk about it with you. So, my name is indeed Koen Berghouts. I'm leading the innovation piece of our foods portfolio. Basically, foods is half of PepsiCo, close to $45 billion net revenue, with brands as Lay's and Doritos. And we're really trying to reinvent the future of our portfolio. I do this with what we call an innovation community. Small global team with cross-functional support around the globe, based out of New York, with offices in London and in Shanghai and in Mexico City and in Plano in Texas.
So tell me, Koen, what are the biggest challenges that are facing the food and drink sector, and how are you dealing with these? And actually, I'll give you the second part to that question, so you've got plenty of space to talk about this. What role has innovation played in facing into these challenges? Because it could be a difficult and crowded market of innovating.
Yes, indeed, Nikki. It is a very crowded space. And I think one of the biggest challenges we have had also coming out of COVID is the challenge between the need for indulgence and the need for permissibility and health even, right? So how do we make sure that we really live up to that tension and provide the right solutions for consumers at the right moment in time against that tension?
And in terms of that tension, perhaps you could just describe in a little more detail what you mean by the sort of permissibility side of that, just so we're super clear what the tension is.
Yeah, no, it is in specific occasions, people like to indulge themselves and really lose themselves in the product and emotional benefits. And those products tend to be a little bit higher in fat and salt and sugar. So how do you, and at the same time, short-term and long-term consumers are looking more for permissible solutions so that they don't feel guilty after consuming a snack or food which could be high in sodium and fat. So how do we solve for that? That is the true tension we are trying to solve for.
And in terms of the role that innovation has played in sort of being able to face into that sort of particular tension, it's always good to innovate from a tension. Perhaps you can say more about sort of, you know, the role that innovation's really played in facing into that.
Yeah, so innovation really needs to come up with the right solutions, trying to solve against that tension, right? So an example is what we have done specifically in Europe and the UK is solving with low sodium, low fat propositions. But using our technology toolbox to still live up to the indulgent piece of our brands, right? So that is hard work, and needs a very strong cross-functional team to solve for that.
Yeah, and getting that balance right, and not sort of offering any compromise because of the
compromise. Exactly. It is normally it's not only about the compromise on indulgence versus permissibility, but also ensuring that people still are able to afford that on a daily basis. So it is not only that specific tension, but how do you build the solution that it's also accessible for the broader population.
Brilliant, thank you. So obviously, Kun, you and I have chatted before. One of the things I was interested in is sort of, you know, the way that you define innovation, because I sort of define innovation from a very broad perspective, but interested to sort of, you know, for the listeners to sort of hear more about how you define innovation and the role it therefore plays in brand growth.
Yeah, so we deliberately go beyond product innovation, right? Innovation is again, the freedom to solve against the tension, regardless if that's product, or it could be services, or it could be a business model, or it could be activation, right? It is much more about truly understanding how do you impact consumer behavior with building solutions. And I think historically, we were very much focused on product innovation. That is still the heart of what we do, because that is our business model, our current business model. But that is not driving the full solutions our consumers are looking for. So you deliberately need to go beyond product innovation.
And do you have any examples of sort of going beyond sort of product innovation and what that might look like? Because, yeah, we also have a much wider definition beyond product, but it's always interesting to try to sort of bring it to life if possible.
Yeah. No, it is basically, if you look at innovations we have launched around the world, is not only to say, you know, we want to have a specific product solution, but how do you offer that? What is the right way to reach consumers? Is that over an e-com model? Is it directly over trade? Mm-hmm. Is that directly over and true activation, right? So that you really make sure that you have a base of fans before you distribute a product or a solution at large scale, right? So you really need to look at the consumer journey to build the right innovation solutions, and not only the intrinsic product. And we've done that, for example, very successfully in China, where we leverage multiple elements of the marketing mix, including activation, communication, even ahead before we have the actual product available.
Brilliant. And a much broader definition obviously allows you to sort of think in that way. And we at Kantar also believe that sort of the more meaningful and different an innovation is the key to unlocking growth. But to get there, you have to do things differently. And that's a really nice example of thinking more about the journey, thinking more about the activation in how you might do it differently. Sort of what else can you tell us around sort of, you know, how you do innovation and how I also know you do it differently. So how do you do that innovation differently that's so successful for you?
Yeah, no, I think it's also about on how do we uncover the right innovation for PepsiCo. And I think we made a huge shift in organization and in methodology as well, right? So we really think that it's all about do evidence. What we have done in the past, and of course up in the funnel, you still do a lot of concept testing and trying to understand the identify the problem to solve. But then I think the earlier you can get to do evidence, so consumers really acting in a real life situation and reacting to your prototypes, to your prototypes in a real environment. And it can be digital, but it can also be physical in store. That is the way to really get true data to make the business case. That is something we do much more than we did like 2 years ago or even 3 years ago. And secondly, I think we have a model where we are building small what we call hubs, right? So these are groups of 6-7 people. Right? We always say, you know, they need to be able to share a pizza. So it's 6-7 people at max, so that they can all have their slice out of the pizza, because that proved to be the best way to make sure that we have enough cross-functional expertise, but also agility, and not overdo it with too many people involved, right? So it is that balance between cross-functional work, but also a small team and being agile.
I love that idea of sort of pizza-sized hub. So I worked in R&D for a long time. It's so important to have that sort of cross-functional connection from the start to build those strong foundations. So thank you for that. Now, let's move to launches. Can you tell me about some recent launches that you've done and what you did differently to get there? I know you've had some great successes in recent times with some launches.
Yeah, no. One of the biggest launches we have done is actually the Europe team. So based out of London, they reinvented our portfolio through the lens of lower fat, lower sodium, right? And they have done that successfully across the board with Walkers in the UK, Lay's in Europe, and we really do see that as resonating with consumers. Right, they really want to look for solutions which are, again, solving for that tension. So that is a great example. We, if you go to China, for example, we do know that consumers are looking for high protein snacks, and they dominantly look for that in meat snacks, which is an adjacent category to our category, and we crossed the bridge of the health connotation and the indulgence connotation to meat snacks with our core equity, which we have with Lay's, which is all about crispiness and texture and lightness. And we really merge that into almost creating a new category in between, which we call protein chips, which we highly successfully launched last year.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And actually, protein chips is a really nice example of doing that thing that gets you to somewhere different, a different space when you're innovating, that different from your competitors, head of the market, category growth, or exactly the things that sort of really we should be thinking about when we're innovating. So that's a particularly lovely example. Do you have any other examples, Cocoon, of innovations that you're proud of that you've worked on recently?
Yeah, no, if you look at what we have done around the globe, I think there are numerous examples of great innovation. And I think innovation not always needs to be highly breakthrough and doing something completely never seen. It's also about truly understanding what are the drivers of success. And we know that our driver of success is most of the time is flavors. That is also where our key expertise is. And for example, Flaming Hot is a total brand platform, really tapping into food culture and what people want to have to spice up their daily meals and experiment with that. And I'm very proud that we could launch a platform across multiple brands, Lay's, Doritos, Cheetos, on Flaming Hot and building that as one platform. And again, that is another example of just going beyond the logic of singular product innovation brand by brand, right? This is another approach where we said, no, we need to have a platform innovation because we do see it is a universal need, and we do see it is valid for many occasions and relevant for many occasions. So there was an opportunity to scale Flaming Hot across multiple brands.
And actually, I think that's a really nice example. And I think what you say about occasionality is really important, because often we can criticize innovation sort of for innovation's sake or flavors without any meaning. But what actually I think you've got hit on there is something that's culturally relevant. It tapped into that changing occasion as well. So perhaps you could say a little bit more about that, because I think it's really important. I agree with you. It doesn't have to be massively disruptive. Ideally, it has to be, but it should be incremental for sure, or up trading. So perhaps you could say a little bit more about that, because I think it's a really important point to be making around sort of the more strategic use of things like flavors and occasionality.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with what you just said, right? So it is basically really being intentional, not only about the consumer problem to solve, but also what is your strategic intent, right? So in terms of what is the incremental definition of your innovation? And most of the time, it is a combination of design target, consumption target, light users, non-users, and or occasions, right, which are currently solved maybe outside of your category even, right? But understanding the dissatisfaction or the drivers of that growth outside of your category or outside of your user base or outside of your occasion, and how you uniquely can solve for that with the equity and the core expertise you have, either on brand level, on corporate level, or both. That is the work to be done. So I think we normally in innovation almost go too fast or simplify the business objective and the business strategy we need to build first before we get to actual solution building.
Absolutely, building from strong foundations. And yeah, I'd really like this idea of sort of that we talk about a lot, sort of building from your strong brand equity and making sure it's fit for you know, whatever you're innovating for, it's fit for your brand, and actually adding equity from it as well as being fit for the type of brand that you are. So no, that's really helpful. In terms of top tips that you have for others innovating, not necessarily in the food and drink sector, but in more generally in sort of more crowded marketplaces, in more difficult marketplaces, you know, what would you sort of say to our listeners in terms of your top advice?
Yeah, no, I think for in my point of view, you always need to ask yourself three questions. And those three questions are, am I very sharp on the consumer problem to solve? Is there a consumer opportunity which I really have the due evidence to support that, right? Number two is, Do I have line of sight that this is scalable and profitable, or living up to our business KPIs for our company, right? That is something which we also often just sidestep early on in the process. And I think it's a prerequisite to be successful long term, to really have a strong assumption and validate that assumption on how you need to grow and be successful in your business model. And thirdly, it needs to really solve a broader business problem or fulfilling a brand opportunity. It's not a business opportunity in itself. It needs to serve a bigger strategic topic or agenda, which the company either is struggling with or has identified as opportunities. In our case, for example, we are very deliberate that exactly what you just said, Nikki, that whatever we do on Lay's, on Doritos, and Cheetos from an innovation standpoint needs to add to the equity. It doesn't need to be that. I think in the past we might have looked at what can we steal and what can we take from the equity to drive innovation. But I think we deliberately also take this as a two-way street.
Yeah, definitely.
Where we need to bring back added value to the equity.
Brilliant. Now, we have time for one more question. And my question to you, Koen, is what was the question you would have liked me to ask?
Maybe the what is driving your personal passion for innovation?
Yeah, oh, it's a brilliant question. See, brilliant. Okay, so yeah, what is driving your personal passion for innovation? Yeah. Tell me.
Thanks for asking, Nikki. Thanks for asking. So, I think for what I really like about innovation is if you do it well, you can really solve some big topics in society, right? And you can really make an impact at scale, not only internally but also externally, and not only from a business standpoint, but truly from a society standpoint, right? We didn't talk until now much about sustainability. But what we can drive from a sustainability standpoint, what we can drive from the more permissibility standpoint, how do we help people on their journey to a more healthy lifestyle? Right? What can we offer? So for me, the exciting part of innovation, it's very close to the big society problems or opportunities we have as an entire population. Right, so that drives my excitement for innovation.
Brilliant, and much like mine as well. My passion certainly comes from a similar space in terms of sort of sustainable innovation and doing good for the planet, as well as sort of growing brands and brand equity and sales. And so getting that balance right, and also seeing sustainable innovation as not a compromise as well. As something to provide people with a better experience, much as we talked about at the top when we were talking about the high fat, salt, sugar situation, and trying, it's not a compromise, it's about actually giving somebody a different or a better experience or the same experience, just because it might not have some of the sort of ingredients you used to have it in the past. Thank you, Koen, so much for joining us. If you want to know more about sort of innovating in a meaningfully different way and some of the topics we've been talking about, please download Kantar's Innovators Advantage booklet. And also, we've written a piece recently on Dare to be Different, which is about innovating in a crowded marketplace such as the food and drink and alcohol sector. So again, please download that. But all remains to say is thank you, Koen, so much for joining us. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I hope you have. And I'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Nikki.
Pleasure.
I really enjoyed it.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to Futureproof from Kantar. For all episodes and more information, visit kantar.com. If you enjoyed this, please leave a rating and a review and subscribe on your favourite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.